Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be back in the house of the Lord again. You know, every time I watch that video that we're playing before these lessons each week, God just reminds me of a different way that He's revealed Himself to me in my life, different times and in different ways. And, you know, we live in a world today that wants to put everything in a box. They want to label everything, have it nice and neat, and they want to say, okay, this is what this is, and this is what this is. And as a result, they have put God in a box. Yeah. And the God that's in that box can do no more for them than what they expect it to do. Right. But when we let Him out of the box, and let Him reveal Himself to us, amen, in all the fullness of His glory, then we can begin to know Him as He really wants us to know Him. We can have that intimate relationship. I will tell you that just as a result of teaching this series, my relationship with God has become more intimate over the last few weeks as He continues to reveal Himself to me. And you will see that so many of these characteristics and attributes overlap from one area of to the other, because He is God and He is everywhere. He cannot be put in a box, praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that He can. I would hate to have a God that you can just set on a shelf and just look at each day and not expect Him to do anything for you. So I appreciate what God can and will do for each of us if we will just allow Him to operate in the areas of life that we need Him to operate in. The reason that He reveals Himself in so many different ways is there's so many aspects of life that we come into, and each one of us that are a different area of our lives each and every day. I can look at out across this audience here today, and there are those of us that are in one portion of our life, And the teaching that I have today might not apply to you, but last week's teaching on Jehovah Mephalti, the God my deliverer, might have been the message for you. Or the week before, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. And then recognizing and understanding what Peter said when Jesus first asked him, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the God that we all need to know and come to before we can recognize and realize what He is in the rest of these revelations to us in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I didn't mean to go there, but it went there. So anyway, if we look at Psalms 103, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, or the Lord healeth. And we want to begin to understand and know just what ways that God does heal, and in what manners. When we go to Exodus, Exodus the 15th chapter and the 26th verse, this is the first time in Scripture that God reveals Himself as Jehovah Rapha. The children of Israel are just 3 days out of Egypt. They have just left Egypt. They've just crossed the Red Sea. They've been traveling for 3 days. They do not have any water, and they come to a place called Marah, and there they taste the water, and the water is bitter. And so the first thing that happens, start complaining. Well, we would have been better off in Egypt. Yep. And they start complaining because the water is bitter, and God tells Moses to cut down a tree, fell it into the water, and the waters are made sweet. And God then speaks to the children of Israel and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand a couple of things. I don't know where you are in your life, whether you're going to need spiritual healing, emotional healing, or physical healing. I don't know at what place you need. You may have somebody else in your life that needs one of these healings. But I want you to understand that there are many times that we go through things in our life for the sole purpose of being a witness to somebody else, so that when they go through that same trouble, you can stand up and say, this is what my God did for me when I was going through that same situation. I want you to understand a couple of things. You can argue, people will argue with you whether or not the Bible is true or not, but they cannot argue against your testimony. Praise the Lord. And understand and know that when you are going through difficult situations, when you're going through difficult times, then recognize that God is going to keep you, that he's going to take you through to the other side, to victory. And whatever the case is, you can look to him and say, Lord, whatever the purpose that I'm going through in this part of my life, I want you to know that I acknowledge that you are in charge of my life, and I will go where you want me to go. I'll walk where you want me to walk. I'll do what you want me to do. But when I get through the other side, Lord Jesus, I'm going to shout in victory because I know it's you that have carried me all the way through this trial. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I didn't mean to go there, but there it went. So we want to look at the first part of healing that we want to talk about is spiritual healing. I told a little bit of my testimony yesterday to JT's parents who are with us today and everything about the challenges that I had when I went to prison for the 8 years and that I was there. I want you to understand that the enemy will do everything he can to bruise and cause damage to your spirit. So many scriptures that deal with healing also speak of the forgiveness of sins or the forgiveness of your iniquities in the same verse. And that's because when you come to Christ and God forgives you of your sins or forgives you of your iniquities, then he heals that spirit that's there within you at the same time. Many times we have things that attack the spirit or even embeds itself within our spirit. And only Jehovah Rapha, only the God that heals, is able to surgically remove that from our spirit so it no longer is a part of us. When God forgives us our sin, there is a healing that takes place within the spirit. The guilt, the shame, the self-loathing, all of those things that we've experienced no longer resides there anymore because he has come in to heal the spirit. I recognize that there were things that was placed in my spirit when I was incarcerated that it took a long time for the Lord to finally be able to heal, because first of all, I had to recognize what it was that I needed to be healed from. I had to recognize it, and I had to ask the Lord to remove that from my spirit that had embedded itself there. We look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the 28th through the 30th verse. He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. During the time that I was incarcerated, the first thing, the first attack on my spirit was race-related. because in prison you're all segregated by race, and it's encouraged by the guards and by the institution there, because if you're segregated by race, then they have less conflict within the facility. But at the same time, you have one set of people sitting on one side of the aisle and another set on the other side of the aisle, and there are darts and daggers that are continually thrown back and forth through words and different means of communication between the races and everything else. And in fact, the first day I was there, I was told, if you're not a racist today, you will be before you leave this place. That's the very words that was spoken. And I am ashamed to say that is one of the spirits that entered into my spirit. But God took all that away from me and removed every bit of it when I yielded it to Him. Praise the Lord. So He will heal your spirit. Praise the Lord. The other thing that we want to talk about, and I'm sorry, because each and every one of these things, I could take a Sunday on each and every one of these things, but I have to move forward, so I'm trying to keep moving in a manner so that I can get through all of these things in a predetermined amount of time. But we look at emotional healing in Psalms 147 and 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And then Luke, the 4th chapter and 18th verse, Jesus is reading from Isaiah here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want to let you know today, today's world, there is a need for emotional healing like never before. I have talked to you twice during this series about the young man that came back from Vietnam with PTSD, and he went to his pastor and asked if God could help him with his problems, with the anguish that was in his spirit, with the hurt, with the nightmares, and all of the trauma that went with it. And the pastor told him, no, there's nothing God can do for you. And that young man went home, kissed his wife, and then went upstairs and committed suicide. Today we have soldiers and veterans that are coming back from the Middle East and different wars and everything else that can't seem to get delivered from that PTSD and the evils that have been placed in their hearts and their spirits and the memories of the things that have happened on the battlefield and everything else. In 2019, 6,261 veterans committed suicide because they did not know Jehovah Rapha. They did not know. Nobody talked to them that there is a God that can heal. There's a God that can bring peace to a troubled soul. According to the National Institute of Health, 21 million adults in the United States suffer with depression. Many of these lead to mothers with depression attempting to cause harm to their child right after childbirth. Many of them cause people to try to commit suicide. Depression causes people to lose their jobs, to wind up homeless and on the streets and everything else because they can't hold down a job. And it is it's something that has just saturated itself into our culture today. We read a verse every Sunday morning when we get ready to leave this place, and it says, don't you worry about anything, but pray about everything. And if you need to think on things, think on those things that are honorable. Think on those things that are just. Think on those things that are pure. I want you to understand that when you get a hold of a God that can heal your spirit and heal your emotions, then you can start rejoicing and understanding and looking upon the things that he can do and start looking upon those things and not looking upon those things that are depressing and everything else. I think one of the greatest causes of depression today is our news media. We are not, everything that they do in the news today is to try to cause division among the people of the United States of America. They want to talk about the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. They want to throw stones at one or the other. They want to talk about, they want to take a racial issue and try to blow it up to where it just causes division among the peoples and everything else. They want to take anything they can that will cause division. It's time for the people of the United States of America to stand up and say, we are one nation under God, indivisible. We are one nation. Praise the Lord. We are one people. Praise the Lord. And it's going to start, it can start within the church of the living God. Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is just not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand a couple of things. If you're in an emotional situation where you have depression in your heart and everything else, you understand that God can bring peace and joy back into your spirit. You don't have to reside in that place that the enemy has put you in. You can walk out that door, slam it behind you, and say, enemy, no more, because I'm going to rest in the peace of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. David said when he was praying his prayer of repentance, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand that he can do that. He's done it for me. And I know if he's done it, if he can do it for me, that he can do it for you. John, the 14th chapter and the 27th verse, he says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, depression, get out of my life. I don't need you there anymore, because I have a God that knows how to heal. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 1 and 17. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So if you need emotional healing, know that I know a God that can do that for you. This is an important lesson today, because we have a minister coming here in a couple of weeks. Brother Sampson is his name, that has a gift of healing. And there are those of us that will be here that some of us may be able to need that gift of healing to operate so that we can be healed of certain things. And if I can do nothing else today, but to build your faith so that when the Lord begins to move, he can work on your life and work in your heart, work in your spirit, work in your emotions, work on your body and heal you, then I've done what the Lord would have me to do today. Praise the Lord. We want to talk about the three ways that God heals. And I actually think there's a fourth way, but I'm going to talk about the three ways that God heals. And we're going to talk about, first of all, the natural healing. James 5 and 14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. I understand a couple of things. We're going to talk about natural healing, medical healing, and miraculous healing. You have a body that was created by Almighty God. And natural healing takes place. Some of us have had COVID. Some of us was able to just, our bodies healed itself over a period of time, because our immune system that God created and installed in us went to and began to attack that foreign disease that had came upon us, a foreign virus that came upon us, and that immune system began to attack that and defeat it. That's natural healing. We see it result in colds and flus and different things in our lives where we pray and God can ease the symptoms and the pain and the discomfort that we find ourselves in, but He allows our body that He created to work in that way to heal us in a natural way. That's natural healing. Are you saying, Jesse, that God's not working? Oh, yes, He's working. He began working when He created you. Praise the Lord. He knew exactly what you were going to need in this world, so He created that. We have our white blood cells that go in and begin to attack that thing that comes against us. And then the plasma that's within our blood does the same thing so that we can be healed in a natural course of action. That's the work of God that He put in us when He created us from the very beginning. And then we look at the medical healing. God has given wisdom to people in this world and to the medical community to help us to recover from various diseases and things that we find ourselves facing in this life. The body still has to heal itself after medical procedures. So our immune system, our white blood cells, And our plasma still has to go to work to heal that, especially when we've had surgery and they have to cut us open and everything else. And then when that immune system begins to heal that cut and those wounds that happened on the inside of our body as they begin to work on us, the natural part takes over after the medical part takes place. I want to share with you a little testimony. Nancy... between 1995 and 2000, I can't remember the exact date, developed non-Hodgkin's T-cell lymphoma. And she wasn't herself. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. Didn't matter what time of the day I came home from work, she would be in bed taking a nap. It could be 10 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening. Didn't matter. Every time I came home, I found her in bed taking a nap. She was just exhausted, had no energy and everything else. So I took her down to Santa Barbara to the clinic there, and they discovered that she had the lymphoma. We went to went back to the church, and we took her up to the front of the church, and we asked the pastor to pray over her. And as he began to pray, he began to prophesy over her, and he said, "The Lord says that this particular disease and this particular occurrence is going to be one for the books." I had no idea what he was talking about. I mean, how can a disease be one for the books? So we went back to the Santa Barbara clinic and we asked them, I asked the doctor, I said, "If this was you," it happened to be a female doctor, I said, "If this was you, where would you go for treatment?" She said, "There's only one place in the country that I would go for treatment." I said, "Where is that?" She said, "I would go to Stanford University Medical Center." I said, "I'll see you later, doctor." And so we went up to Stanford, and we walked in the door and met the new oncologist there and began to talk with her and everything. And she says, "Well, you are just in time." And I said, "Why is that?" She said, "We are beginning a brand new study and a brand new drug routine to work on T-cell lymphoma, and this study is going to be posted so that other doctors can read about it. Forgive me, but I can become emotional when I recognize the hand of God at work in our lives. A year later, Nancy was cancer-free, and it was one for the books. It's one for the books. We want to talk about miraculous healing or supernatural healing, and that is a healing that happens instantly. We read a lot of cases in the Bible where the man with the withered hand was asked just to stretch forth his hand and it was made whole. We read about the woman that touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. We read about those that had faith and said, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And the healing was made to happen that particular day. Personal testimony regarding what you've been through is the greatest thing that you can help others with. I remember when I had been on a camping trip, had been up in the mountains for a week, and I had forgot to boil water one day, and I drank some water out of the lakes up there in the mountains, and I got parasites that embedded themselves in my esophagus. And I came back and I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me 2 courses of antibiotics later. They were still there, causing me just to cough and cough and cough and cough. I don't mean just a little cough. I mean hacking coughs that were loud and disruptive people, the kind that made people look at you like, what's wrong with you, you know, and get out of here. I don't want to be near you. And I would go to church and I would have to get up, literally, I would feel this coughing fit come on. I had to get up and literally run out of the church house so that I could cough out in the vestibule and not disturb the church service and everything else. And so I went back to the doctor after the second course of antibiotics, and he said, well, Jesse, he said, obviously these parasites are resistant to the antibiotics we're giving you. He said, well, it's going to take about 6 months for your body to build up enough in the immune system so that it can reject these things out of your system. And I'm thinking, 6 months? I got to live like this? So the next Sunday night, sitting in church and this coughing fit come out, instead of running out the back door, I got up right in the middle of the pastor's sermon and I walked right up to the front of the church. I stood at the altar and I said, Pastor, I need prayer now. He came down and began to pray for me, and I left the altar, didn't feel any different, still coughing, walked out of the back of the church and stood outside the church so that I wouldn't disturb the rest of the sermon. After church was over, I walked back into the church and walked up to get my wife and family and take them home, and a brother walked beside me and he slapped me on the back of the shoulder. And he said, we're healed by the word of God. I looked down at my Bible and I turned to James 5:14 and began to read the scripture in James 5:14. And it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. As soon as I read that, the coughing disappeared, and I had no more problems with it. 6 months, the doctor told me I was going to have to live with that, and God miraculously healed me of that particular thing. During the course of my ministry in years past, there was many times that people would come up and ask for prayer to be healed, and we would pray for them, and we saw many people get healed. A lot of people walked away from the altars get healed, but there was a lot of people that walked away without healing. And I asked God about this. I said, Lord, why is it that certain people walk away with their healing and certain people don't? I mean, I understand that the faith is a grain of a mustard seed. You can cause mountains to be moved. And I know that when we are sick sometimes, we don't have the faith to believe that we can be made whole right away at that point in time, because our physical body just will not allow us to reach that level of faith. But the act of obedience, of walking forward and calling on the elders of the church to pray the prayer of faith, that is the grain of mustard seed. That's all you need, because your faith is revealed in obedience to His word. Praise the Lord. And so I said, I know they have the faith because they came forward. So what's the problem? And the Lord spoke to me and He said, I cannot go against my word. And I thought about it for a minute and I said, Lord, what do you mean you can't go against your word? He said, I cannot go against my word. And so I went back to James 5 and 14. And I read it again, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And the Lord says, that is the key. And then I went over to Matthew 6 and 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And what He was showing me is that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, He can't heal you, because if He heals you, He has to forgive you according to His word. And so consequently, He has to withhold that healing virtue that He wants so desperately to give to you, because we have something in our spirit that needs to be healed first. And is it any wonder, when you continue to read James 5, 14 through 16, he continues on and says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So if you've got some things in your spirit that needs to be removed so that God can complete a work in your life, He's saying all you got to do is confess it, pray, and then I can heal you. Praise the Lord. I want to go to one other thing. Even modern medicine talks about forgiveness and healing take place. This is on the John Hopkins Medical website. It says, whether it's a simple spat with your spouse or long-held resentment towards a family member or friend, unresolved conflict can go deeper than you may realize. It may be affecting your physical health. The good news, studies have found that the act of forgiveness, this is on medical website. This is also on the Mayo Clinic website, by the way, and on several other major medical websites. The simple act of forgiveness can heap huge rewards for your health. Lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, reducing pain, blood pressure, levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness-health connection as you age. There's enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed, says Karen Schwartz. And this is where Sister Victoria started trying to get into my lane yesterday when I was sitting there at the kitchen table. She started trying to preach my message today. So chronic anger puts you into a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. What I'd say about the immune system. So when you have unforgiveness, your immune system doesn't work like the way it should. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, diabetes, among the other conditions. Forgiveness, however, calms stress levels, leading to improved health. Can you learn to be more forgiving? Now, this is on a medical website, mind you. Forgiveness is not just about saying the words. It is an active process in which you make a conscious decision to let go of negative feelings, whether the person deserves it or not. Did you deserve to be forgiven of your sins? Did you deserve the sacrifice that Christ suffered on Calvary's Hill? It says, as you release the anger, resentment, and hostility, you begin to feel empathy and compassion and sometimes even affection for the person who wronged you. I could go on, but I think that's pretty much what you made to understand, that there is a God that heals. Jehovah Rapha. He will heal you. He will heal your spirit. He will heal your emotions. He will heal your body. He will move. But if you are holding things within you that prevents him from working in your life, I ask that you search your heart today and get rid of those things so that God can do the work that he would have you do. And I pray that you all come to know Jesus, know the Lord and the many attributes and the many benefits, as David said, that he has for each and every one of us. God bless you.